Let's talk about this first class of students. What should we know about them?
It's really a terrific group. We had over 3,500 applications for our 54 spots. We had a rigorous interview and selection process. We had over 300 applicants who came to Kalamazoo to see, at that time, the building that was under construction, but to hear from our faculty who are here and to learn about what we were doing. From that group, we've selected 54 students as our inaugural class. They are terrific in terms of their academic performance and their diversity. They come from coast to coast to coast to Alaska. So all across the U.S., really bringing a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different strengths to the medical school.
Is that number 54 one that could grow in the future? Is the first class somewhat smaller by design, or is 54 going to be about where it's at?
It is. We had always anticipated about 50 students in the first year, and we have ended up with 54 because our curriculum is based on teams of six. And so we anticipate 54 students this year will grow over the next 3 years to a class size of 84. So 84 students in each year is our target size.
When it's a new medical school just starting, is there the opportunity to be more innovative, to perhaps try some different things? Obviously, medicine is still medicine, but can you try some different things in terms of instruction that maybe other medical schools haven't gone there yet?
Well, yes and no. It does seem like, because you have a blank slate, that you could start off and do a lot of things more creatively, and I think that's true to some extent. At the same time, when you're a new medical school, you don't have the resources of established medical schools, so it's not as easy to do some things as it is with a school that's already got the faculty, all the faculty in place, and they've got a lot of the programs in place, and have a lot of things that are already there. Because whatever you decide to do, you have to create. The other aspect, though, is as you go through the accreditation process, there's a fair amount of rigor to the medical education curriculum. And even though the accrediting agencies try to encourage innovation, a lot of times to meet the accreditation standards and to meet the expectations of the review process, you end up looking a little more like traditional medical schools than a new medical school. So we have taken some best practices from a number of different schools and incorporated them in our curriculum. We've added some things that are new and unique to us, and I expect other people will take those best practices from us as they use in their curricula. And so it's a process where we learn from each other, but whether we're a new school or an existing school, we work continuously to improve the curriculum.
Do you feel that you have any more freedom to experiment because of the fact that there is not state money being used for Western Michigan University's medical school, that it's entirely privately funded? Sometimes there's strings attached to state money. Do you feel that in any way this has made things easier for you to get this off the ground?
Well, it's obviously mixed. We did not want the medical school, and this really goes back to President Dunn, when he envisioned the medical school and how it might function in Kalamazoo, did not want a medical school that would take resources from the other good things that go on at Western Michigan University. And realizing that a medical school is very expensive and it does take a lot of resources and investment, and it may take years before that investment really starts to show the financial return, that he did not want to have the medical school detract from the other good things that need to happen and are happening at Western Michigan University. So that really is the basis of why the medical school does not receive state funds.
Obviously, there were some large gifts which allowed the medical school to get off the ground. How different do you think the medical school is at this stage because there are people who have been willing to donate large sums of money?
The value of those gifts is priceless. And I often remark that this medical school, while people look at it and say, yes, it has three parents, Western Michigan University, Borges, and Bronson, I actually think there's a fourth parent in there, and that's the community. this medical school would not happen without all four of those entities contributing to start the medical school. The philanthropy that comes from this community is just exceptional. The commitment of people in this community, in this region, to give back to the community in the region is just exceptional. And it's that kind of commitment to the area that brings about even the possibility of having the medical school. Without the community and the financial support, without Western Michigan University, without Bronson, without Borges, this medical school would not be here.
You mentioned the accreditation process just a bit ago. A medical school is not fully accredited when it opens its doors. Can you kind of explain how this process works?
Well, there's several different levels and types of accreditation. We're exactly where we need to be for accreditation right now. One is we have to be granted authority from the state of Michigan to grant healthcare-related degrees, and we have that. And so that's done. The other two accreditations, one revolves around accrediting the institution, and the third revolves around accrediting the MD program. So the institutional accreditation, we are just in the midst of that process. That process takes about 4 years. We are also in the midst of our accreditation for the MD program by the Liaison Committee on Medical Education, or the LCME. The LCME was here and granted us accreditation preliminary status, and they will come back in early 2016 to visit us again to move us from accreditation preliminary status to accreditation provisional status. And then they will come back approximately 2 years later to grant full accreditation. We're going through the process that every medical school has gone through, and we're exactly where we need to be. We've done extremely well in our accreditation steps so far, and I expect we'll continue to do extremely well in the next steps. We're very well positioned to be successful.
Does the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, make this a time of change in medicine, at least in how medicine is delivered? And what does that mean for any medical school, much less one that has just started teaching classes?
Well, medicine is it's an interesting field. It reflects everything from taking care of one patient to taking care of the entire population, from the business of medicine to the art of medicine to the science of medicine. It's very complex. In the context of that complexity, one also has to realize that things are always changing. And it isn't that things have been incredibly stable for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years. When you take a look at the growth in scientific information, when you take a look at the advances in medicine, the changes in technology, the expense and the financial side of medicine and how that's financed and how we are able to pay for that as a society, look at the socioeconomic aspects of medical health care, and we realize that health is not just a state of physical well-being, but there are a lot of other aspects of being healthy that contribute to physical well-being. We've been living in change forever, and it will continue to change. So to think that, the Affordable Care Act, while it is significant and will have some significant impacts, that everything was unchanging before that, really isn't true. Medicine will continue to change. What is true that there will always be a need for skilled, compassionate physicians to take care of individual patients, for skilled, compassionate physicians to develop systems that take care of communities. And that's really a hands-on process. And our goal is to develop those individuals who can be the outstanding clinicians and the outstanding leaders and the outstanding advocates for healthcare for tomorrow.
Western Michigan University has opened its medical school. Other institutions have opened their medical schools, and other established medical schools are expanding in large part because there is a projected shortage of physicians coming down the pike. Do you see the medical school here at Western Michigan University training physicians who will then work in this part of Michigan after they graduate?
Absolutely. And I think that is part of the reason, a large part of the reason why Borges and Bronson are interested in the medical school and becoming part of the medical school. If you look at the physicians in Southwest Michigan, in the region, especially around Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties, if you look at where these physicians trained, about a third of the physicians in the area have trained at what was Kalamazoo Center for Medical Studies, or KCMS, which merged into the medical school in 2012. So just imagine if those training programs that are now part of the medical school had not been here. Just imagine if a third of the physicians in the community just evaporated. And that's the impact of the training programs in the community. It serves to help recruit and retain top physicians in their fields to the area because of the value of education. And it helps bring students and residents to the area to train here. And then they see what a great place Southwest Michigan is to live. And then, again, a third of them end up staying in the area. So this is very definitely a an important pipeline of physicians for the region. We're competing with the rest of the state of Michigan, but we're also competing with the rest of the country. And with the projected physician shortages, being able to train physicians in your local community is going to be key to having a pipeline of physicians for that community.
There has been a call amongst people in medical societies to raise the residency cap in hospitals. In other words, there's only so many residencies available for students coming out of medical school. Is that a concern at all as you get started that there may be limited spaces out there?
Well, let's first understand that the cap is imposed by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services that has a cap of how many residency spots that they will fund. So residency education in the United States is very complex. A limit was set by the government in 1996. There's been a couple of modifications to that since, but largely no significant increase, even though the population's grown, even though the complexity of medicine has changed and there's a need for more physicians, there's still not an increase in the funding of graduate medical education in the U.S. Nevertheless, there's no cap on the actual number of positions, but the government only pays for so many of those positions. And so there has been some growth in the number of positions in the U.S., but those are being supported because of the commitment of hospitals to develop programs to provide that pipeline for their community. So in the United States each year, though, when you take the number of medical student graduates, which are about 19,000 to 20,000 a year, and you look at the total number of spots, which are about 26 to 27,000 a year, there are a number of spots that are available. We are filling those spots with international medical graduates. So right now, at the time that we are saying we don't have enough physicians, we're also not training enough physicians. But we're also recruiting the best physicians from across the world to come to the U.S. Now, many of them do want to go back to their home countries. And that kind of international experience, I think, is a benefit for both us and for them. But many of them come here to want to stay here and practice. And that's to our benefit, but it's also to the detriment of their home countries when we're acting as a brain drain for the rest of the world. So there is a need to increase the number of medical students that are trained in the U.S., and that's increasing, and that will increase over the next 5 or 10 years, and in about 6 or 7 years, we will reach a point where the number of projected medical student graduates will meet the number of currently available residency slots. Then at that point, then it would become more of a concern. But we're a few years away from that, but I think there's going to be a lot of change between now and then. As you know, the Institute of Medicine released last week a report on their recommendations of how funding for graduate medical education in the U.S. should change. It's going to take years to effect that change, but those kinds of changes hopefully will also lead to increased number of residency training positions.
Western Michigan University President John Dunn has said the medical school is a game changer. Do you see beyond, of course, the training of physicians, which is very important, an increased role as time goes on for things like life sciences research?
Absolutely. And, you know, as we've started working on the medical school, our focus has had to be on the curriculum. So we have been developing the curriculum to be prepared for the students who started this week. At the same time, we've been working on our research plans. We feel, like most medical schools, that we need to address research in at least three different areas. One is basic science research, or that laboratory-based research. The second area is clinical research, or research that involves recruitment trials of patients to really be able to bring the latest and best options for therapy to Kalamazoo that are only available by participating in these studies. And then the third is community-based research that, while the word research is there, it's really the purpose is really to help improve the health of the community by partnering with affiliates and coalitions in the community that are already here and identifying how the medical school can help them. So going back to the first area of research, basic science research, we will be working this year on developing our basic science research plans and to start to remodel part of the medical school building downtown to update the labs and to recruit the first set of basic science researchers to Kalamazoo, to the medical school downtown.
Hal Jensen, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Hal Jensen is the dean of Western Michigan University's Homer Stryker MD School of Medicine.